Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as a return guest on the podcast, Sebastian Kollner. Sebastian, the Chief Mindsetter, is an executive coach for high-achieving founders and leaders who built outward success but feel trapped behind the mask of it. He helps them stop performing, slow down without losing it all, and finally reconnect to who they are beneath the pressure. His work blends emotional clarity, nervous system safety, and identity transformation to help clients reclaim their energy, focus on what truly matters, and lead them from deep alignment, not adrenaline. If you've ever thought, I know what to do, so why am I not doing it? He's the coach who helps you finally do the things that matter in your life. Outside of coaching, Sebastian meditates, builds strength and vitality through exercise, and enjoys time with his three kids because business success should never come at the cost of life's most important moments. And with that, Sebastian, welcome back to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It's a pleasure to have you back as a return offender today.
Well, thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it. And there's one key distinction in that intro as I was listening to it. It's like, well, I don't help them stop performing if you mean performance as in deliver results, right? But there's another meaning of that word, which is all about I'm holding it together and, you know, I got that, or I must be strong, or, you know, if I slow down, everything is going to come falling apart. That's a performance. That's a mask. And I guess that's what the conversation is all about today.
Well, and with the emphasis on a lot of Western society on productivity and performance and success, it's almost imperative that we put those masks on to achieve a goal that's arbitrarily set by individuals who may not know our individual needs anyway. Yet we strive to achieve that because it's something we think we're supposed to do. But as I've learned, there's no shoulds or supposed tos anymore. It's what's reality for the individual and what's going to fit within their world and moral constructs.
I appreciate that. There's a somewhat casual way of saying, like, stop shoulding all over yourself.
That's correct.
If we want to go into just a quick note, what I have done for myself is when you find yourself thinking, I should, I have to, or I need to, replace it with, I get to, or I choose to. Right? Or I commit to. And if you feel like that is not true, well, then take it off the board altogether because, you know, it was never yours to begin with. But if it's something that you actually want to do, then choose to take your power back and off you go.
That's right. When it becomes a choice, we become empowered. And what choice we can choose to take a path or not take a path, but the decision is ours and we have nobody to be accountable to except ourselves for our decisions.
And where this gets real interesting is when you stop and pause and you question all those shoulds, right? And all those goalposts that you've set and really ask yourself, what does success mean to me? And that's where I find deep, meaningful conversations can start, right? That's where founders running 7-8-figure businesses ask themselves, do I really want to scale or what this is all about?
Yeah. Right?
And if I want to scale, then why do I want to scale? It's not always, you know, quite clear, but connect back to that why and then let that drive you.
It's almost like, does the bottom line connect to who I truly, really am as far as my values, my priorities, or am I just chasing a bottom line for the sake of chasing a bottom line?
Or worse yet, or your calendar, are you like a calendar on legs, right? Just not you really running your business, but your business running you. If that's you, then, you know, let's have a conversation because yes, you can slow down and no, it's not all going to fall apart.
And for those of you who are going to watch this episode on YouTube, in the background, you'll see a sign that Sebastian has. His mindset is a misnomer. Let's reset yours. And that's what you're all about, because you are the chief mindsetter.
Exactly. And as I jokingly say, thank you for the lead in, is it is a misnomer because it's not actually set, is it?
No.
We run programs, we run habits, we run patterns of behavior. But when you do stop, pause, and think, you can change your mindset anytime you choose to.
And the nature of life itself, I mean, we're going to experience a variety of different challenges that transcend the business world, and how we respond to those challenges, who we are after those challenges, are going to influence who we are in business, or who we are in just our normal course of vocational choice.
And how do you know when you're not aligned? What I've learned is, when we talk about driven achievers, when we talk about people who are on a mission, when we talk about people who get stuff done, they don't usually talk about fear. But you know what they will talk about? They talk about being stressed. Maybe they'll even admit to feeling a bit overwhelmed by all those demands. Well, when you take a real close look and have the real conversation with yourself, right, that face you're looking at in the mirror every day, underneath that, you will usually find fear, because fear starts with what if, right? What if I fail? What if I let them down? What if? Yeah, that feels like just your familiar sort of what's stressing you. But look at it for what it is, fear. And here's the good news. When you look at it, actually a good sign, because it tells you two things. Number one, usually this got triggered by a thought you have, right? Which takes us back to mindset. On the other hand, what is also true, we're hardwired to feel fear. You know when? As soon as we leave our comfort zone, because it's a survival response, right? It is what's known is safe, because if it didn't kill you up until today, chances are it's not going to kill you today or tomorrow either, right? That's why fear is the signal you're leaving the status quo, which can also be the signal you're doing something worthwhile, because if you didn't care, there'd be no stress, there'd be no fear.
And that's one of the things, that we can channel our fear and anxiety into constructive pursuits. You know, a little fear, a little anxiety is never a bad thing, but a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, if it becomes debilitating and causes us not to engage in life, then it's something that we need to look at, scale back, or take a look at the root causes behind that. Because like you said, feeling stressed and overwhelmed, I've always thought those were subcategories of fear anyway, you know. So I'm stressed, but why are you stressed? Well, I'm afraid of taking this new change in my business or my life. Or why am I overwhelmed? I got all these demands that I have to meet, and I'm not taking time for myself, and I'm afraid of what may happen if I don't do that. But yet, it's tough to verbalize it as fear, because again, fear and productivity don't go hand in hand. You don't verbalize fear and show weakness to a client, and show weakness to an individual you're trying to contract with. But in reality, if we own it, it doesn't own us.
Maybe we'll do one quick disclaimer before we dive into some of this, and that is, because you brought it up, right? Like severe anxiety, like actual burnout. Okay, those to me are very different things from the kind of stress and overwhelm we're talking, right? So, well, we're not giving medical advice here. We're looking at this from a conceptual life experience kind of. If you have trouble like getting your body to move, get help. If you suffer from severe anxiety, work with a professional, help through some of the biochemical things that are going on besides, right? You can't think your way out of just anything, right? That's not the perspective we want to give in this conversation. However, for most people who feel stressed and overwhelmed, you already said it, what's going on in the background, right? There's a certain follow-up there. And to me, it's like a very simple loop that usually runs there, right? Brooke Castillo had this, it's like tears, T-E-A-R, okay? Because what happens is first and foremost neutral. Then it gets filtered, right, through your reticular activating system, or just call it for the scanner. And usually there's a microsecond judgment of it, a thought, right? We evaluate it. Well, not necessarily we, but a part of us. Based on that evaluation, there's an emotional response. Usually
if you're in tune with yourself, you might notice the emotional response, but you won't catch the thought because you're just too quick. And this is where this whole disconnect that we touched on in the beginning, like I know what I want to do, but I don't do it, is because there's a judgment, there's an emotion, and the emotion determines the action or non-action that you take, mm-hmm. which then leads to a certain result. And that's where it closes the loop. The result reinforces those permanent, pervasive thoughts, right? Those, what do I believe at the core about me? If I believe I have to earn love or I have to be successful in order to matter, failure gets to be a pretty significant threat. Mm-hmm. If I believe telling somebody how I really feel or the truth, or giving, even as a leader, giving quote unquote negative feedback is going to damage the relationship, that can hamper me quite a bit and add a lot of stress on conversations that really could be just another conversation. No judgment here, but that's what I mean by thoughts, right? Stories that trigger the emotional response.
Absolutely. And our thoughts do trigger our emotions. And if we can learn to, I think, modify our beliefs, modify our thoughts, we can manage our emotions. And that's I think from what I understand, that's a basic principle of rational emotive behavioral therapy, which was just started by Albert Ellis. And there's still an Albert Ellis Institute in New York that trains individuals in REBT. But I've always firmly believed that our behavior dictates our emotions, and if our beliefs dictate our emotions, if we can modify our beliefs, our emotions can become more manageable. I think that there's that connection. And I'm glad you did that disclaimer in the beginning, because certainly if anybody was coming to me for medical advice, they'd be really hurting, because I'm not a doctor. I believe in an integrative approach anyway. I believe that the best of Western medicine and psychotherapy can integrate with holistic coaching practices, holistic spiritual practices. So I really encourage individuals to kind of look at what works for them. And there's a lot out there as far as cognitive behavioral therapy, solution focused therapy, and meditation and yoga, and a lot of other holistic practices that can combine to help individuals improve their quality of life. But it's important to talk to individuals who are trained in those disciplines. And we also, as coaches and clinicians, have to be mindful of our own limitations and only work within our strengths.
What I love about that is, one, in a practical perspective, I have, interestingly, probably more clients that also work with a therapist than I have those who only work with a coach, right? Or several coaches. And building, since you brought up lots and lots of therapy, and we don't want to let this drift too far, but it was just last week, I believe, I was listening to a little bit by Tony Robbins, and he actually said, you know what, when I studied, like when he started out, right, one of the fathers of the coaching space and personal development, you could, you know, like him or not like him, but he's done a lot for the field. And what really struck me there is what he said is all therapy works. Like he literally looked at all the various different approaches to therapy, and he says they all work because ultimately they all have one goal, and that is to get the patient to shift, right, the story, belief, the meaning they give to whatever happened. Mm-hmm. Because when you change the meaning, okay, simple, though not always easy to do, right, that is when the emotional response changes. And as soon as the emotional response changes, that's when you can take a different action, right? That is when you can change how you view the past and how it affects the future, your current presence or the future.
Past, present, and future are all connected anyway. And that's something that we can't lose sight of. But to get back just to, we were talking about, you know, the behavior dictates emotions and belief dictates emotions. I know you place a lot of importance on the head-to-heart connection. So why do you think many experience a disconnect between their thoughts and emotions, and how do you help them make that connection?
Well, my own experience with that has been, in my personal history, I cut myself off from most emotions, at least cognitively, right? Some of that was a traumatic experience in my very early childhood. Some of that was how I interpreted the feedback I got from my parents and people around me whenever I did show emotions as a young child. And needing
approval, needing love, you adapt to the environment. No blame here. Just looking back, this is how the pattern was built. If you had asked me in my late teens or early 20s, I would have said the reason I get stuff done at the rate that I get it done is because I don't have emotions and nothing freaking gets in the way. Today, of course, I know that was BS. And just because I tried to lock it all in a dungeon with, you know, seven iron gates and locks around it, did it not make for a healthy experience of life? And of course, there were emotions running me, no matter what I tried to say. So acknowledging that, can you completely disconnect? No, you can try and dissociate, right? But let's get back to that earlier model. There is that connection. Often the thoughts trigger the emotions, okay? Ultimately, what is emotion? It's energy in motion. It's a signal. It's information, okay? This is where I love that there's no real negative or positive emotions. There's feedback. If what I want to do doesn't happen or my need is not met, then that's leading to one kind of emotion that signals, hey, something's missing, right? If I get what I want, that might lead to emotions like curiosity, happiness, love, which signals, hey, I want more of that. At the very base level, there's pain and there's pleasure. And that's what you can bring pretty much all emotions to. That's important to keep in mind for later. We talked about fear already. Now, some dangers are real, right? I don't step out in New York into moving traffic and totally trust that they're going to stop for me. There's other things like don't touch the flame, you will burn yourself, that we learn as kids. Some dangers are real. Fear is not. Fear is a story, a thought I have up here. When you try to solve most problems, we're up in our head. That takes us out of the bodily experience of all that energy and motion that is constantly there. That is what disconnects you from what a part of you already knows to be true. Okay? Most of the thoughts we have when we think through a problem is justifying something we already decided a long time ago. So, do we want to make this very tangible, very practical for the listeners? Do we have 2 minutes?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, cool. Then what I would invite everyone to do is think of a problem you're wrestling with, a decision to make, something that's been bugging you. This can be a relationship. This can be a business problem. It doesn't really matter. Pick something that you've really literally been thinking on for quite a while, right? On and off, recurring, or just been nagging you for. Everybody has one? I'll wait another moment. Okay. Now, you know all the thoughts. You've thought all about it. A part of you already knows. Here's what I do with my clients if I just want to interrupt that pattern real quick, and you can do this right now. I want you to start breathing, right? Take a couple of deep breaths right into your stomach first. It really helps to inhale deeply through the nose and exhale through the mouth with your lips slightly open. And after you've done that and you really sort of dropped in there, the next few breaths, we'll do a few here, and then you can pause it and extend this to a minute or two if it feels good. Breathe into your chest. Breathe into your heart. Yeah, it might help to close your eyes. Thank you, Dave. And just take a few deep breaths into your heart. And as you inhale, feel that life force, the oxygen, right, rushing into your heart. Feel your heart expanding. Feel how your heart then pumps that life force to every part of your body. And as you exhale, just let go and take another deep breath into your heart. And you might feel your heart pump and beat. You might just follow the breath to it. And if you do this and treat yourself for another moment, for another minute, feel free to pause here and keep going for a while longer. And now, when you're fully present in your heart, I want you to just simply finish the sentence I'm going to give you with the first thing that comes to mind. All I need to do is, and just take note of whatever comes up. You might say it out loud. Dave, you're welcome to play, but you know, we're doing this for the listeners. You might write it down right away, but whatever came up, don't think about it. You know, if it doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. Whatever came up, take note of it and keep going. All I need to do is,
And as you breathe into your heart, follow the truth that a part of you already knows. Now, we did this real quick and you weren't prepared for it, Dave. What was the experience like for you?
It was calming. I could actually feel my heart expand. And the word that came to mind to finish that sentence was, it's okay to just be.
Did that work for you in the context of what you had been thinking about before?
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's a decision, sometimes it's just a word. But what I love about what you've described is, it's that calming, it's that one way to connect to that inner knowing. When you're in your head, you're disconnected. And most of us spend, what, more than 99% of our day? Right? Up here? In and out. Whether you call it intuition, whether you call it your soul, whatever belief systems you have, you are alive with your heart beating in your mother's womb before your brain even develops. There's an intelligence in this part of you that you can tap into. We just are usually not trained because our schooling, performance, drive, all of that is usually here. And just by shifting that, by dropping back into your body, you can often cut through, you know, what would otherwise a 3-hour coaching sessions. Do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, or you know, at least have, you know, set the mindset. The client could set the mindset that they want by just doing that for the coaching session. I think, you know, for me, I would feel less anxious and I would be more receptive to what you had to say, and I would be able to process, make connections with what you're saying, with what's going on with me more quickly than if I was just stressed out and anxiety was ruling the roost.
There's that. And better questions lead to better answers.
And I think when we're relaxed, our beta and theta waves take over and we can become more intuitive and we may take more chances and we may look at, even if our intuition didn't serve us, it's still information. And it's something that we can use moving forward to create the life that we choose for ourselves.
And go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. And I was just close that with, sometimes this is a very long journey, right? Right now we did this with a few breaths. Why is it a very long journey? It's because we live in our head, right? We set those goals. We have the meaning we put around the struggle, the meaning we put around the mission we're on, the meaning we put around carrying the team, being responsible, providing for you, whatever it is, it all makes sense. But we don't, it's like up here, we somehow had it all make sense. And it can feel scary, aka unfamiliar, right? Not what we're used to leave all of that, what we've learned to trust, what got us here, and slow down and drop back into who we truly are. And just last, 2 weeks ago, in a quick 15-minute coaching call, I had a client literally tell me after the hard breathing exercise, what came up for them was, yeah, I need to slow down. I need to give myself more time and space. But I'm afraid if I do, it will all fall apart. And he didn't just mean his 7-figure business. From my own experience, I know, and I called him on it. He also meant, if I go to that place, I might fall apart, and I don't know if I can put myself back together.
Yeah, there's that fear of not doing.
Yes.
Sometimes I've struggled with this in my own head, is that if I stop doing what I'm doing, is my purpose on earth going to be over? And am I going to go into the next existence? But then I realized, I'm paraphrasing this from a book, I forgot the name of the book, it was by Richard Bach, who wrote Jonathan Siegel. And I forgot the name of the book, but on the back cover, it said, how do you know when your mission on earth is not over? It's when you wake up and you're alive. And I'm paraphrasing that. So, and years ago, I would really worry, geez, you know, is my purpose going to be over if I stop doing? Now it's just like, I know my mission on earth isn't over because when I wake up and I'm still alive, I still got more work to do.
I love that. I love that. And that describes another pivotal moment in life, right? When you feel like
So you've won the game, whether that's of your career or of your business. And if you've been driven by, not necessarily that you were, but if you were driven, if that became part of your identity, then, you know, whether it's retiring, selling your business, exiting, or even shutting it down, because there's lots of different ways this can happen. But if that goes away, then it creates this void. And this now what question. So I love that you found your answer to defining success at another level as a way of leaning into what every day brings and having conversations like this one, obviously. It was a very meaningful way to channel that energy. But those are the milestones in life that can feel very scary. Why? Because there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of unknown. You get to ask those deeper questions.
You know, one of the things that you also allude to is that the physical distance between the head and heart is small, but maybe the longest, most intense journey we take. I think our conversation illustrated why that is. And, you know, Ram Dass talked about natural compassion, where it's just we lead with a compassionate heart and we just let our instincts take over, and we connect with individuals who are showing compassion for where they're at by trying to show greater understanding. And I think if we can allow some of our emotional intelligence to come out, that emotional intelligence is going to lead to more compassion, more understanding, more empathy. It's going to make for greater success in business. It's going to make for greater success in life. It's going to build bridges with individuals with diverse backgrounds. There's just a lot to be said about the role of emotions and success if we allow that to occur.
Beautifully put.
One of the things you've also talked about is when you know what to do, but you consistently find yourself not doing it. Why is that?
Now, sounds like a familiar space, doesn't it?
It sure
does. Now, whether that's there are patterns of behavior that we've reinforced over and over and over again. Why? Because we got something out of it when we first did it this way. And then we want it more. What is it? Well, ultimately, remember, pain and pleasure. Okay. Now, we're hardwired to put more emphasis on avoiding pain, even then, right? Pursuing pleasure, but the two are kind of flip sides of the same coin. Okay. Oh, we can make this very practical again. Everybody think of one thing you know you wanted to do differently or you wanted to finally do, but you've been avoiding, right? If that's your taxes, well, in the States, you're already late. In Europe, I know it's kind of getting late too. But all kidding aside, right, think of something that, okay, make it tangible for yourself, make it practical. I don't want to give a lecture, okay? Ideally, you write this thing down. What is this thing that you know you wanted to do? Okay. One simple way to answer the question, why haven't I done it yet, is because it's I should do it. I have to do it. I need to do it. But you haven't made it a must, as in you haven't committed yet. And why have you not committed to it? I'll show you. First, write down and get real honest with yourself. If you haven't done it yet, you're associating pain with doing the thing. What? This might be the fear of failure because it's something new. This might be rejection because, what? Or this might be, hey, if I bring this up with my partner, who knows what it does, right? This comes in various different shapes and forms, okay? We're not talking pain as in you stab yourself. We're not even talking traumatic pain, but if you haven't done it yet, you're associating pain with doing the thing, okay? And if you can get real honest with yourself, what is it that, what are the what ifs? We touched on that earlier, right? Or when did you try this before and failed? This can be pain can be as simple as, I'll take a personal example. It took one of my coaches to call me out on something. Why wasn't I doing what I needed to in the beginning of building my business? Because whenever I was at the desk working on my business, the pain I felt and the resistance was, I'm not present with my kids. This is taking time away from my kids. That's a form of emotional pain, a price to pay that. Had two values really conflict hard. Okay. Now, ironically, when I was with my kids, I was worried about the business and wasn't fully present either. So here I created a perfect loop. Until my coach asked, well, sounds like you have to choose between being successful or being a good father. How might you have both? Okay. That shifted some things for me. But back to the pain equation, all I wanted to illustrate is this can be as subtle as time away from other things that I like. So take pain in the broadest sense. Write it all down. Get real honest. And then This might seem like something you go at first, nah. But if you're procrastinating, if you're not doing it, if you're not changing, the next step is you're getting something out of that, that your brain decided is pleasurable. Right? Maybe that's time to do something else that feels like more fun, right? The monkey brain scrolling through social media and all of that. Cognitively, you know this is waste of your time, but these things are designed to give you a dopamine hit, which at the very basic level, your mind says, oh, this is fun. Let's go. Well, let's not deal with this thing over here. This could be uncomfortable. Let's go do some more of this. You might also get the pleasure of maintaining the relationship in a safe space rather than causing a conflict. So again, pleasure can take very different forms. But if you're procrastinating with that example, look at what are you getting out of it.
And I think there's always a hook or something that's going to reinforce the status quo, you know, and behavior that is reinforced. And if that individual perceives it as a positive consequence, for example, if they're getting, oh, it's going to be okay, you can do this tomorrow, that is reinforcing for them not to change. The more they hear that, the more it's going to increase the procrastination behavior, which brings another aspect to the coaching business and the clinical business. How do we control those outside influences? How do we get that individual to change their relationship with those people, places, and things that have reinforced the behavior that they no longer want to do?
So let me give you two more steps, and then we can see if we want to go deep. Okay? Because of how our mind works in very simple ways this way is why we perpetuate behaviors and reinforce them. What your mind doesn't look at is what this will cost you in the future. Right? Your mind looks at here, right now, and past experience. It will ignore evidence to the contrary because it gets filtered out. Most importantly, when you look at this pain pleasure equation, what is missing is, if you don't do the thing, what is that truly going to cost you in 2 years or 5 years? When you apply that time frame and take a hard look at financially, emotionally, physically, your health, your relationships, maybe even your spiritual well-being, right? If I consistently procrastinate, it undermines my self-worth. It undermines the identity I want to build. I will not be the father I want. Like, really go deep. Allow yourself to feel that pain. Why? Because you're going to need, if you want to change that and you want to change the environment that shaped you here, you're going to need pain in the past, in the present, and in the future so that you say, enough, no more of this shiitake. I am changing. Okay? Coaching might take months. Therapy might take months. The change is instant. It's in the moment when the person decides, enough. And to get there, you need to load up the pain equation in your favor. Really look at the cost of inaction. Really look at if you continue to procrastinate, if you continue to show up in your relationship. It's hard to picture divorce, right? But load it up with that pain. Picture where that takes you. The only chance you have to really reclaim your mind. And then one more thing, because we don't want to just be fear-driven. Once you've done that and you've gone deep, then breathe back into your heart, right? Shift your state a bit, and then look at the last question. If you were to do this thing right now, what are all the potential things you could gain just from attempting to do it? And I see you smiling now, right? You felt the energy shift. Okay, that's where we're going to go there. But that only becomes meaningful if you don't skip the step before. Don't kick yourself into, oh, if I just put enough reward on there, I'm sorry. BS, you've tried that and you failed. Why? Because you did not look at the pain associated to doing the thing and associated to the cost of inaction. That's crucial.
Absolutely, because there are consequences to any choice that we make. I tell my students all the time, every behavioral choice you make has a consequence or consequences. So make sure that you choose wisely. And only be accountable to yourself if the consequences you chose didn't work out the way you were supposed to. And it's all information. And also when it comes to pain, I think of a line out of the John Green book in the movie Fault of Our Stars, where one of the protagonists says, pain demands to be felt. Pain is also information. And if we run away from pain, it's only going to come back. So we might as well make friends with it and see what it's got to teach us.
And you know you've run away from pain if you feel overwhelmed and exhausted. You know somewhere you've ignored it. And you can probably keep this up for quite a while longer. But the question is, what's the price you're paying?
So what I'm suggesting is, now, number one, and here's the shameless plug, if you feel stuck, or especially in the situation of, hey, I know I need to slow down, but I'm afraid of what's going to happen, reach out, let's have a conversation. Before you do that, or if you're feeling, let's just show you, do the quick exercise. Write down what it is. Let me just recap real quick. Write down what it is that you've been avoiding, what you know you should be or wanted to do, and get real honest with yourself. So far, you haven't decided that you must do it. So then get curious. What's the pain associated with doing it? What do you get out of not doing it? Because you're getting something. And then do the hard part. Look at the cost of an action and get real. What is this going to cost you? Load up the pain of truly not doing it in the future so that you can look at, and what could you gain if you just started doing
it? Makes sense. And also, there are no shameless plugs on my podcast. I want my guest contributors to promote their services. I want to create a community of a lot of, you know, holistic healers, influential individuals, impactful individuals that can help our listeners. So there's no such thing on my podcast as a shameless plug.
Well, take it.
Well, you're welcome. Now, one of my last questions for you, you've left our listeners with a lot to think about today, but if you're going to leave our listeners with the ultimate takeaway for today, what would that be?
Let's do a catchy quote, right, that I love, and then go deeper from there. Cool?
Cool with me.
So what does fear really spell? False evidence appearing real. You might have heard that before, and I hope that from the conversation here today, you see it in a different light. Because you have emotions. You're not your emotions. So when you want to lean into emotions, talk about, I feel this, or I experience this. Don't talk about, I am angry, or I am frustrated, right? I have emotions. I experience emotions. That gives you back the perspective that you and I have talked about. And that is, it's feedback, it's valuable information, and yes, you can change your state. You can change by physically, you know, sometimes it doesn't even take the breathing. Sometimes it just takes standing up. And you will feel different energy, different feelings. And if you have the courage to take a deeper look at what are the thoughts and the beliefs that are driving you, on the other side of the fear you might feel when it comes to slowing down or taking that deeper look is usually the freedom, the fulfillment, the alignment that you're looking for. And if you just do the exercises, some of them that we've gone over here today, I promise that will help. If you have the courage to enter a conversation with someone about what you found, wow, that is a conversation that can change your life.
Absolutely. And we can't do it alone. We need the help of others who understand us and who we believe we can trust, and we're comfortable sharing our most intimate secrets and details with. So thank you for that, Sebastian.
Thanks for having the conversation.
Oh, you're welcome. If individuals want to get in contact with you, contract for your services, find out more about what you do, what is the best way for them to do that?
I run my business mainly on referrals, and I've started to build a bit of a community, if you will, on LinkedIn. So let's put the link to my LinkedIn profile here. That's why I post Monday through Friday insights, practical tips. That's where you find a link to my newsletter if you just want it into your inbox once a week. But really, if you want to have a conversation, feel free to contact me there, send me a message. We will set up a space, have a conversation, and see where that takes us. Because when you pick or choose your coach, something needs to resonate from the content, from the website, from whatever.
Absolutely. And I like the fact that, you know, you leave some room open for if the energy doesn't align, you can go your separate ways and no hard feelings. I tell potential podcast guests that, look, if I'm interviewing you for the podcast to be a guest, I'm sold on you. If you've been referred to me by somebody who I trust, I'm sold on you. Now, the thing is, are you going to be sold on me as a podcast host? because if you don't think as a podcast host, I'm going to be able to represent your message with the authenticity that you want, let's feel free to go our separate ways. If you find a podcast host that will meet your needs, no hard feelings.
We've had this conversation and here we are.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all that you do, Dave. Thanks for sharing the journeys. Thanks for having me on and creating the space. Really appreciated the conversation.
Me too. And as always, it's just a pleasure talking with you. You have so much insight and so much great information to offer the world. And I wish you continued success with your coaching practice and with your family and life in general, Sebastian.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.